Thank you for listening to the Family Life Podcast. For more great content, visit thefamilylife.org. We hope you are blessed by today's message and will be encouraged to share it with someone you know.
Amen. Well, stand with me for just a moment more, and it is great to be here, and I am thankful for the blessings of the Lord that make us rich and add no sorrow to it. I have found God to be faithful.
Yes, He is.
Ever faithful, ever constant, always worthy. Amen. And I'm thankful for His goodness, His mercies that are new every morning, His compassions that fail not. Great is His faithfulness. Somebody say amen. The book of Mark, the fourth chapter, Mark chapter 4. I am so thankful for everyone that's here, our guest. We're so glad you're with us. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in this service, the next two services that follow immediately. And I've said this in weeks past, but let me reiterate it again. I'm not a fan of the term new normal, but it is nonetheless in our vocabulary now, and it is with us for quite some time in the future, no doubt. I think we're all perceiving that, and I think we're all responding appropriately to that. But I have found that in every service that we have had, that God has moved, because obviously so the church culture is changing as our culture is changing, and no doubt we'll see the ripple effect for this for some time. But I have found, and I am praying for this to be found in people's life, that God is not dictated to move just in an altar at the end of a service or just in a particular place, a setting. God can touch you right in where you're at right now. That's in right. Your pew. And I think we have to come to an understanding of that. I think the Lord is bringing us to an understanding of that He's not limited to the four walls of a sanctuary, but He has to be God at our home, at our workplace, and there in the pew at the end. And so today, even though we're not at present having altar services due to social distancing, still nonetheless, I want you to know that right where you are, I have seen God in every service touch someone's life.
Yes.
There in the pew, because it's not about an address in the position in the church at a pew. It is about the position of the heart.
Yes.
And so I trust that before you leave this place, you're going, if you have not already, which I already have, you're going to feel the touch of the Spirit and be thankful for it, and you're going to receive what you need. Amen. Looking at the book of Mark. Now, we're continuing on in this series that I started last week. And if you weren't able to be here, you can look at it online, watch it online, or listen to it on the podcast. And, of course, this week will be posted there today and the podcast as well this week. But we're now in this second part of what we're talking about, the soil, seasons, and the seed. We're talking about seasons today. And I feel directed to the Holy Ghost to say some things. And so I trust that the Spirit will speak to you about some things in your own life and who we are as a people and through the Word of God. And so it says this in the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." We're talking about seasons today for the next few moments. Would you lift your hand and honor God with me one more time? Father, I love you and I thank you that you are present, that you are real, that you are God in all seasons of our life. You are God in all places of our life. And Lord, you are not dictated by the time and the tempo of man, oh God, but you work outside of that in the eternal through the temporal of time. And I thank you, God, that you are faithful and just and you are kind to us. And I pray, Father, anoint every one of us, every individual, every heart, every family, every home, every life. And I thank you, God, that you have brought us out of darkness into marvelous light. And I thank you, Lord, that you are kind and just. Let there be a revelation to someone here today. Someone would know and understand, God, that you're speaking expressly to them, and help us, God, to have ears to hear and lives to receive, hearts to respond, God. We trust you and we love you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, I pray, anoint us all. Would you clap your hands one more time? How worthy is our God. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now walk with me for a few moments here in the Word as we begin to understand this. It was nearing the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy, and probably more importantly, it was nearing the end of his own life. And most believe that the second letter to Timothy was the last epistle that was written by Paul. His final words, in other words, that needed to be said and that needed to be heard. So it would be with that thought in mind as to how important what was being said needed to be heard and needed to be acted on. And that could have been why it was that twice in the last chapter, Paul told Timothy to hurry to him. Look at this, if you would, please. He said this in the ninth verse, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." And then in the 21st verse of the same chapter, ending that epistle, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Age and experience, no doubt, had given Paul the perspective that the seasons needed to be acted on, worked within, responded to in a right and responsible way, to be diligent, he said. Be diligent to come before winter. He knew the perils that could be, the delays, the diversions of the unexpected. He wanted Timothy to be diligent about responding to the appropriate season that was before him. I need you to understand this here at the beginning as we begin to move in this. He needed Timothy to understand that there was the need to move, the need to respond, the need to recognize what was coming, the season that he was presently in and the season that would ultimately be, that was necessary to follow the season that he was presently in.
Yes.
Understand this, if you would, please. Seasons are not meant to respond to us.
Right.
We are meant to respond to seasons. Now, I'm going to be specific about some things today. I need everybody to understand this. Seasons are not meant to respond to us, but rather we are meant to respond to seasons.
Wow.
Let me repeat something that was said in one of the sermons that I preached for our online services some weeks ago. Somewhere at some point, someone finally figured out that the sun did not revolve around the earth, but rather the earth revolves around the sun. There were those that thought it was the other way around. As a matter of fact, probably so, there are those that still think it's the other way around. At some point, you and I have to surrender to the truth that our life must revolve around God.
Yes.
Not the other way around. That's why so many become frustrated and disillusioned with their life. They're unhappy, they're unfulfilled, they're seeking, they're constantly searching, they're trying to get God to fit into all the pieces of their life instead of first surrendering all the pieces of their life to God. Do you understand that? They're trying to force God in, to make him to conform. But Romans 12 said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but what? Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind."
Yes.
Amen. We're not to conform, but we're to be transformed. God doesn't conform into the thinking of man. He doesn't press into the seasons that man wants him to, but rather we are to be transformed into the seasons that he deems for us, that we might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hear this, if you would, please. Look at this. Satisfying and sustaining fruit can only be found through the acceptance and the endurance and the right response to seasons in our life.
Wow.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, a river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Planted, it was the first and foremost thing. It is always the first and foremost thing. Without being planted, everybody say planted.
Planted.
Without being planted, no root can grow. There must be the planting of the Lord, and thereby fruit does not have the chance to be produced if there is not the first planting. Good fruit is the result of being planted in place. Growing through season after season, enduring the elements and challenging environments of our life, understanding that first we must be planted. At some point in time, everybody hear me right now, at some point in time you have got to settle it.
Yes.
Because we are in a constantly vacillating culture. that moves from one, it polarizes so many things. It moves from this, it moves from that, it goes to this, and we see so many things around us. At some point in your relationship with God, there has got to be the planting. There's got to be that determination that you're going to settle, and you're going to dig in, and you're going to endure the seasons and the challenges of life that are facing you, because otherwise there is no way that fruit ultimately will be born. God uses nature as a means to speak and communicate and illustrate his purpose and power and presence to us. And so he said that our life should be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. Trees or things, walk with me now. Trees or things that uproot in a stormy season are never defined as productive, but rather they are defined as destroyed. If something uproots during a stormy season, and I will tell you, I believe if you look around and assess where we're at right now, I believe that we could define that we are in fact in a stormy season and have been for some time, and no doubt very well could be, because seasons don't work according to the time frame that we think they should. But nonetheless, if something uproots during a stormy season, it's not defined as productive, but it is defined as something that is being destroyed. In other words, when a few weeks ago we had that storm come through, and everybody remember that? Just a couple weeks back, down my road where I live, this tree was uprooted, and that tree fell. I had two trees fall in the back, they uprooted in the wind, small trees, but down the road was a massive tree. When things get uprooted in stormy seasons, they get cut up and they get burned. They cease to grow, in other words. When things uproot in a stormy season, they get cut up, they cease to grow, they get burned. A scar is left in its place. It changes our ability to produce fruit. The intention of what we were first planted for is ultimately lost. That's the result of allowing our life to be uprooted when it should not be uprooted. Let me jump over, if you would, real quick to Isaiah, and then we'll come back to this in Psalms. To appoint unto them, if you would please, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, what? The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Look at that last part, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hear me, don't uproot in a stormy season of life from what and where God has planted you. You are planted of God. You're a tree, you're not a bramble bush. We are planted of God, because most often when we uproot in stormy seasons, it is about our glory and about our want and our way and not his. We are planted that he might be glorified. Anybody hearing this right now? I am not planted for the glorification of myself. I'm not planted, you're not planted, that somehow we might bring attention to who we are or what we are. We are planted of the Lord in the place that God has planted us for his ultimate glory, not self or the one of this world or the way of this world. Come on, seasoned saints. Amen. Somehow we have to understand that there's a purpose in why God plants us where he plants us. Remember what we read last week, if you would, please. Don't be offended by the word and miss out on bearing fruit. Accept it and be saved by it. Amen? Yes. We read it last week. They were offended by the word. Don't let the word offend you. Submit to it and it will save you. Let's go back to Psalms, if you would. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Planted by waters. It matters. Just stay with me now. It matters where we are planted. Yes. I think this is desperately important to understand. It matters where we are planted, for it can determine our ability to be sustained and ultimately bear fruit. You don't just want to plant anywhere. Right. You want to plant where there is truth. You want to plant where there is something that will sustain you through difficult seasons, because difficult seasons are an inevitable part of life. There will be dry days. And can I tell you, I'm not going to go into this right now, but I need to say these things. There are times that we will go through self-inflicted dry seasons, but there are necessary dry seasons that are a part of the purpose and the plan of God. Right. But it must be that we determine that we are going to stay and be planted in the place that God determined for us so that we can ultimately bear fruit, because we could not bear fruit in any other place but that. planning of the Lord. Amen. Certain things are only revealed and received through seasons. They can be gained no other way. I am who I am, and you are who you are today because you have learned to endure through the seasons of life where God has planted you. I could not have gleaned it or gained it any other way. As difficult as it was, as painful as it might have been, as dry and desolate as it may have felt, it was still nonetheless the will and the purpose of the plan of God to bring me ultimately where I needed to be to bear fruit.
Yes.
Somebody say amen. Certain things are only revealed. They are only peeled back, if you would. The layers of life are only taken away as we're able to endure through the seasons that God is allowing us to go through. This is difficult to accept, but it's necessary. The most fertile soil is most always found in the valleys. Those places where the runoff from above collects, where the elements press precious things downward. And never forget, years ago, Brother Walls told me that they farmed out there towards the bottom, towards the river. There's a White River out in that area. Farmed down towards the bottom, down towards White River. The soil was fertile down there. There were some things you had to deal with down in the bottom. You had to deal with down in the valley. You had to sharpen the plow tip a little bit more because it was a sandy soil. And it would dull the tip. And so there was always the constant need to sharpen. There was the constant need to tend. But nonetheless, the most fertile soil is almost always found in the valleys of our life. No one likes to live or go through a valley. Nobody likes to have to endure that pain, that difficulty. The view from the mountain is often greater. But you understand that little grows on the highest mountains. There is little that's thriving there, but the psalmist said that it's in where? The valley that he restores our soul. It is in the difficult places. Most of the victories of my life have not been defined by a mountaintop, but most of the victories in my life that I had to walk through and I had to come to were found in the valleys of my life. The difficulties, the places that I learned to endure, the places that I learned that there was something there that I needed to see that possibly my flesh did not want to see otherwise, but it was a necessary place in the season of my life that I needed to go through because nothing else could grow in my life unless I was willing first to go through that. That's why the psalmist said walking through or going through the valley of Baca. In other words, walking through the valley of weeping. We are meant to go through it because it's a part of the plan of God. It's in the valley he restores us. In the valley, in your most misunderstood season, it is there that God can ultimately create the best fruit in your life. Good fruit is born in the difficult places of our life, and it's there that we learn what matters most. We learn what does not matter. We find it thinning out. That's why often some of you elder saints in this church, I appreciate the longevity of your service to God and the fact that you have endured seasons and you are still there. You've recognized that there are certain things that you can live without and there's certain things that you can't live without. There's certain things that are more important than other things and you learn through time to appreciate those things. God said this, Christ said this, so is the kingdom of God, Jesus said, moving back to Mark 4. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day. In other words, seasons he's talking about there. He should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, but he knoweth not how. He doesn't perceive it. He doesn't understand. That's the difficulty with seasons. For every one of us, that's the difficulty with seasons. We don't have a full view of when they will begin and when they will end. We don't understand when that season begins and it crosses over to the next and we walk out of it and exit into yet another season and enter into where God is leading us. When it comes to the Spirit, the things of God, the things of life that really matter, we don't have a calendar or a clock that can keep that kind of time. That watch on your arm, that clock on the wall, that calendar on your desk, that's just a measurement of our mortality. That tells us the beginning and the ending of certain things. But when it comes to the spiritual seasons of life, we can't calculate. We don't have a clock and we don't have a calculator in our mind that somehow we can mark it off and say, that's when it's gonna begin and that's when, no. We submit to the seasons of God because God, everybody still with me, say amen. Come on, I haven't lost you on this, have I? because God who works in, God who is eternal, he will work through the temporal of time. He is not dictated by the temporal of time, but he will work through the temporal of time. He will work through your life and my life. It's appointed unto a man once to die, then after that, the judgment. God will work within that time frame. Amen. But he's not dictated to it. So we don't, in our mind, we don't understand when the beginning of a season ends, when it begins or ends. And that's why he said a man can rise night and day, but he doesn't know how it's working. He doesn't know how it's growing. We fret, we worry, we think that this will be the answer or this will finally make me happy. Stick with me now. We rise night and day, he said, we don't see how it's working. If I can just do this, if I can go there, get that, maybe that person's the answer for my life, maybe that's not the answer. If I can buy this or if I can be that, then finally all will be settled and all will be satisfied in my life and finally everything will be in place. No, that's not the way it works. But the truth is Jesus was saying that what satisfies, what fulfills is his will. His kingdom is found in the planting and the submitting to the seasons that ultimately bring the harvest. Do you understand that? It's not a, we often look at life about destination points. Oh, I pray that somebody hears this in this house today. We look at life in fulfillment, in terms of fulfillment as in destination points. But for the Christian, for you and I, the believer, our fulfillment is found in the journey that leads to the destination, ultimately heaven. It is not just about the gratification that we so often think it is, that if I can just feel happy, that if I can just feel satisfied, that if I can get this, buy this, go here, go there, then that's going to be the answer. No, it will never be the answer. What's going to be found to be the answer is when you plant, when you harvest, when you dig, you plant again, you endure the season, you rise up night and day, you repeat the process, you walk with him daily. That's where the satisfaction is found, knowing that he never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory.
Because it's not just about ourselves. Mm-hmm. As difficult or as long as those seasons may be and as frustrated as we may feel, they are necessary for what God ultimately wants to produce in us and save us and others by. I want to emphasize that, to save us and others by. Because it's not just about ourselves. It's about the fruit that's being produced in us for others as well. You and I have to find peace in our seasons, whatever they may be, because if we are in them, then God has a purpose for them. As difficult as it is for my flesh to submit to, it's still nonetheless the truth that if I am in a season, then God intended for me to be in that season because he has a purpose for me through that season. Look at this, if you would, please. Everybody, just walk with me. I'm almost done. Peace is an accepted process in the purpose of God. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Our want must not outweigh the state of our season. I'm going to repeat it again. Our want must, I've seen people frustrate the grace and the will of God because they have allowed their want to outweigh the purpose of the season that God was taking them through. They got out of the will of God because they wanted something more than the will of God. They wanted something more than the season God had them in. And our want must not outweigh the state of our season that God is trying to get us to learn in, because contentment, everybody hear this right now, contentment is a learned response. For something, it's not something that we are born with. I've said this numerous times from this pulpit, but I feel the need to echo it again today. Contentment is a learned response. Paul said, I have learned. In other words, it's through the process of teaching of the Spirit, the breaking and the putting it back together, the recognizing what works and doesn't work. It's through that process of learning that we come to a place of contentment. And that's what Paul was saying. I wasn't born this way. I had to learn to be content. I had to find that peace in the process. I had to find that peace in God that he is ultimately taking me to some place that I do not see, but it is there nonetheless. Amen. There is an expectation. We are meant to ultimately bear fruit. Are you understanding this? Yes. Our want, it must be that we submit to it, to the season, because we are ultimately meant to bear fruit.
Yes.
Jesus said in the 29th verse of Mark 4, That when the fruit is brought forth, the sickle is put in because it's time for the harvest. Now look at this. When it finally comes to that point of fruition, he was saying that at that point of fruition, there's going to be demanded of it a harvest. The sickle's going to be put in, meaning that we are meant ultimately to bear fruit. God has a plan for us that we are meant to grow into, because God is not satisfied with us just growing. Ultimately, God is satisfied. He wants us to grow to the point that we bear fruit and we produce it. And I'm going to talk about the seed next week and the fruit a little more specifically. And meaning, in other words, there is an expectation from God for us. Everybody in the sound of my voice, man in the pulpit, everyone in the pew, there is a certain expectation that God has of each of us. There is a demand that we respond to what is right. We respond appropriately to be and to do what we are supposed to do and to be, because the fruit that we can only grow in our life is expected from us. It cannot be delegated to another across the aisle or in front or in back of you or in the next two services. It can't be just put to them that we think that, well, if I don't do it, then somebody else will do it. No, there are certain fruits that are born in our life that can only be born from our life. There are certain things that I am and you are that nobody else can be. We are given the giftings, and that's a whole another sermon. That's a whole another service that we'll talk about that. But it cannot be that we think that we go through the planting process and the growing process and then ultimately not bear fruit. You've got to bear fruit, because again, I'm going to repeat what I said last week. We are not judged because of the soil. We are judged by the fruit that we bear. Ultimately, what's meant to be produced, we are meant to do something for God. Something is meant to grow out of our life. Now, let me end with this. Mike, if you would, please. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of man. God said through the prophet, the dew from the Lord, the showers upon the grass tarrieth for no man. In other words, they don't wait for the sons of men. We surrender to the seasons. The seasons do not surrender to us. That's what the prophet was saying. We're to surrender to the seasons, the plan, the purpose of God. Musicians and singers, if you would, please. We are to surrender to the seasons. The seasons, they don't surrender to us. We fit into God's plan. We respond now, in other words, what he was saying. We respond now, today. Today, while it is called today, he said in Hebrews. We respond now, not later, because why? The rain waits for no man. It's what the word was saying here. He causes the dew to come, he causes the showers, he causes the rain, and it's not going to tarry for anybody. The season's going to happen. We have to respond in his time, not ours. I think if there was a message that needed to be heard, that needed to be said right now in this particular day, that's something that everybody needs to come to grips with. That we need to respond in the season that God has us in right now. Not a delay, not a time that's in front of us or away from us or something that's just in the peripheral of our life, but right now where we're at, because the rain is waiting for no man. The season that we are in, it's not going to happen again. Hopefully so. The season that we are finding ourselves in, there's something that God is asking of us, something that God is demanding of us. It's not just about bearing leaves, but it's ultimately about bearing fruit. And we have to understand that there's a storm cloud. That's why the storm cloud, that's why the prophet said to the servant, go look over in the distance. And he walked and he said, I don't see anything. And he told him to go back. And finally, he came back to the prophet. And he said, well, I see out in the distance a cloud the size of a man's hand. Can I tell you that our vision must be not limited to just the immediate that's around us, just this small sphere that we are often content to live in. But it must be that we look beyond ourselves and see the season that God has us in. Because I don't know about you, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear something in the Holy Ghost tell me, come on, you've got to, the rain's not going to wait for you. You've got to catch up to the season that God's doing this in right now. The dew, it's falling every day, and there's got to be something in your heart that you sense, oh God, you've got me here for a purpose. I cannot miss this moment that you have presented to me. Because this is the season that we are in, and this is the season that God meant for us to bear fruit. Hear me, someone. This is the day of salvation. We surrender to the seasons. The seasons don't surrender to us. This is the season to surrender to God, the time to submit to what he wants and is trying to do in our life. So hear me, somebody. Plant. So break up the fallow ground. If you're struggling with what I'm preaching today, go back to the prayer room of your life. Break up the ground again. Hear what God's trying to say to you and remind you of. He knows exactly where you are. He planted you there. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He's seen it before you ever arrived at it. He's got everything in control. Don't frustrate the season of God by trying to uproot in a place that he never meant for you to uproot from. Dig deeper, because if you're gonna bear fruit in your life, it's not gonna come from the shallow soil. It's gonna come from the deeper things of the Holy Ghost, the things that God is dealing with you about, and you're willing to change, and you're willing to see, and ultimately be saved by. Because the truth of the matter is, amen, when you plant, when you sow the seed, and you let the roots grow deep, they will sustain you in difficult days. They will keep you in those dry seasons of life where you think you're just gonna die. But you won't die, because you planted by the rivers of water. And ultimately, they will produce fruit in your season. Let me just say this real quick. A good man bears fruit in his season. Not every season is a fruit-bearing season, but ultimately there is a fruit-bearing season. Just because you're dormant right now does not mean you're out of the will of God. It just may be the season that's beneath the surface that you have not perceived yet. Because ultimately the fruit will grow that will save you and somebody else. And parents, I try to tell parents this as often as I can. Don't do something in a season that's out of season for your life, because it may not affect you immediately in that moment, but ultimately it could affect your child generations or years down the line. Yeah. Don't get out of the season that God has you in, because what you grow now will sustain them then.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Because that season that you are in, God has you in it to save you, not to destroy you. And God is using this season, your season, to save you right now. Come on, someone pray with me all over this house. You can stand to your feet, you can remain seated, whatever you'd like to do, but I just wonder if you would turn that pew where you're at right now just into an altar of prayer, and for a moment, just let God deal with you. Let this word just marinate in your spirit to where you sense and you know that you've heard from the Lord for your life today. Come on. Oh God, help us in our season. God, help us in our life, Lord, that we would sense and we would know, Lord, what you're doing, that you planted. We're our planted of the Lord, and we can't uproot in something from something that you determined for us that would save us and sustain us. Come on, pray with me now, church.